That's okay. You guys got the song. Sometimes, you know, I think it's awesome when, I mean this, because we're just people trying to do stuff. You know, this is, we're just trying to serve Jesus, and sometimes things happen. And I think that it's fun, the unexpected, you know. Got my coffee, got my Bible, ready to go. Peter told me this is the river of life. That's cool, man. The river of life. I better put the river of life down because you can't, sometimes too much life can do some things to you. You know what I'm saying? So let's just start by praying. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you that your word, God, comes and illuminates our lives and it brings us life. And Father, we want to embrace that today. We want to embrace a newness of life. Lord, that where your word comes, comes strength, comes empowerment, comes freedom. And so we ask right now, bring your word to us, Lord, and just let it bring light to our life. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Amen. So we are entering, we just finished a series called Elements, and we're entering into the Christmas, I guess, season of the church calendar. I guess I'm going to come down here. I get scared up there a little bit, you know, that I'll just get out of control and that would be bad. So we're entering this season of the Christian calendar called Christmas, right? And I really appreciate the Christian calendar. It's not always historically accurate. Like, I'm not quite sure that Jesus was born in December and on the 25th and all these things. But the thing that I appreciate about it is it allows us an opportunity to reflect at different points of the year, to kind of pause our lives and our families and to reflect on the good things that God has done throughout creation. You know, from the Old Testament, even the feasts that are in the Old Testament, the things like Passover, where God said, don't forget to do this. Do this with your kids. Maybe you don't even know what I'm talking about, and that's okay. We have a Passover feast that we do here called the Seder meal. But there's different seasons of the church calendar where we can actually reflect on the goodness of God. And so in this season, we look at the birth of Jesus, something that was told long before it happened and something, you know, that we now look back at and we can see the goodness of God, really the goodness that he has for each of our lives. And so this morning, if you could open up to the book of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah had some wonderful insight, some revelation to the birth of Jesus. And so we're going to kind of dive into this story today in the book of Isaiah, chapter 9. How many of you guys like Christmas songs? You like Christmas songs? Not like the Jingle Bells. I mean like the Christian Christmas songs, you know, like Let Every Heart, Prepare Him Room, Joy to the World, Oh Come Let Us Adore Him. So Charles Spurgeon was a 19th century preacher in England, and he had this this quote. I like to read Charles Spurgeon. He's got some study notes on pretty much throughout Scripture, but he said this about Christmas songs. He said, it's all very well to hear players on instruments and sweet singers rehearse these words, but to believe them and realize them in your own soul is better far. You know, think about that with worship. To sing these, or to see people perform music and, you know, the wonderful guitar players and stuff, of which I am not one, but, you know, to see the musicians, but to experience it personally and to let the words and the impact wash over your soul, that's better far, he says. And so one of the things this Christmas season, I would encourage you to let it become a part, to let that story become a part of your story, to let the impact of what God did in that season, in that moment, to become a reality for you, right? And so let me just start by reading this. We'll kind of lay a backdrop here from the book of Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And a lot of you have probably heard this, but here's what the prophet Isaiah said. And he's giving this prophetic word to the nation of Israel, but it's really a prophetic word for all generations. It says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And so this was some 700 years before Jesus came to this earth. We have the prophet Isaiah declaring really to a people, the Israelites, who were at that season just really a mess. They were a disaster. They needed some hope. They wanted a king. They wanted a leader to deliver them. And here comes Isaiah saying that God wants to give that to you in the form of a baby. He says, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And I'll read that one more time. And the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And so Isaiah is painting a picture here, and he's saying that one will come to you, will be given to you, that will be all these things. I was talking to the Wentz this morning, and we have four children, my wife, Maylia, and I, and each of them have really unique characteristics. How many of you guys have kids out there? All right, how many of you were someone's child? All right. So the thing about our kids is that, you know, when we first got them, number one, it was some small miracle they let us take them away from the hospital. Anybody feel ill-equipped when you had your first child? Like, you're really just going to let me go? And that's okay with you. Like, you're okay with me taking this small, frail little life with me? I mean, that seems dangerous, but if you say so, we'll go for it, all right? But when we brought our children home, we didn't know anything about them. They didn't know anything about themselves, you know? They didn't really have any identity yet. But over time, you know, now we have a 9-year-old, a 7-year-old, a 5-year-old, and a 2-year-old. Each of them have such unique little personalities. You know, I can look at each of them and I can say, oh, you know, this one is creative and this one is, you know, passionate and this one is compassionate. And you know what I mean? This one's got a lot of drive and this one's got a lot of vision. And I'm sure you can do the same thing with your kids. Like, you know, as you get to know them, you can begin to say, oh, you know, I see Lucy, and Lucy's like, she's just this little, you know, engineer or whatever. I don't know Lucy well enough to say that. And many of you don't know my children well enough to really see little things like that that I might see. But as I walk with them in relationship, I get to know them. As I walk with them, I get to know them on a very personal and intimate level to the point that I can really see who they are and who God's made them to be. The thing that Isaiah does in this picture is he's saying that there's going to be a child that's born and given to you. Born unto us, given to us. Say me. That's you. Some of you were like, does he really want me to say that? I'm not sure. This is, all right, next time I say that, you just follow along. That's how this goes if you're new here. We'll get you to say all sorts of crazy stuff. No, we won't. But the thing that Isaiah does here is he says that here comes this child, and you're going to know him to be Wonderful. You're going to know him to be Counselor, to be Mighty God, to be Everlasting Father, to be the Prince of Peace. But a lot like, you know, if you just saw my kids over here, you might know that's who Eliana is or that's who Liam is, but you're not going to know them. And one of the things that has really moved me this week is that I can see God and not know him as Wonderful because I haven't walked with him. I can see God and not know him as the Prince of Peace. You understand what I mean by that? And so as we go through this, I think about that Christmas hymn that says, let every heart prepare him room. I would encourage you today to say, God, I want to make room for you. I might not know you as Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, you know, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father, but I want to. Wouldn't it be a great revelation for your life if you got to know him in that way? What do you have to lose, right? So imagine if you got up tomorrow morning and you heard a knock on your door. You go to the door and open it, and there's a baby laying there. A baby, just here, with a note on it that says, this child has been born for you, and it's now yours. You get to take care of it. You get to help him grow. You get to feed him and change his diapers. How many of you would feel prepared for that tomorrow morning if that happened? Ruth, what do you got back there? You good with that? If a child came to your life, would you be ready for that? Or would you have some questions? The obvious one, like, where did you come from? But what about, hey, maybe I'm too old for this. Maybe I'm too young for this. Maybe I don't have enough time for this. I'm not sure that I'm quite ready to receive this child. I'm not sure that now is the right time. Just got to get my ducks in a row. I got to get my life together before I'm ready to really receive this child that was born for me. Maybe I'm not quite ready. See, what Isaiah said is that there has been a child that's been born unto you, that's been given to you. And so we see this picture in Isaiah that there is a child that is literally given to Rob and Cindy, that is given to each of us, whose name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. But we must receive that child. You understand? Well, see, we have two choices when that child is presented to us. We can receive him, or we can close the door. And I can guarantee you that you're a lot like me, that there have been seasons of my life where I have closed the door on Jesus. Anybody else ever done that? You felt like, maybe I just need a little bit more time, Lord. Let me figure this out. I've got this situation. I can handle it in my own strength. How'd that work for you? So God, see, the genius of God is that he sends a baby to fix your problems. Isn't that remarkable? See, sometimes in this world, people think that a baby will fix other kinds of problems, but God sends this Jesus to sort out all of life's problems for us. In this chapter 9 of Isaiah, before he gets to this picture of the child to be born, I got to make sure that I haven't missed anything, guys. I get ahead of myself here. But before this time, he talks about the Midianites, and he talks about this season in Israel. The prophet Isaiah talks about this season in Israel where they were very lost and very, you know, surrounded by their enemies, and it looked like it was all going to end poorly. All signs pointed to their destruction, and what happened was God raised up this man in that season. Does anyone remember his name with the Midianites? Starts with a G. Gideon, yes. He rose up Gideon to be their deliverer in that moment. He empowered him to deliver these people from this natural, you know, situation that they found themselves in. And so Isaiah leads up to this picture of Jesus and says, much like what happened there with the person Gideon, that God sent this kind of savior to that situation, he wants to save one like that to this world. Not to deliver you in a natural sort of a way, but to deliver you in a supernatural sort of a way. And so we see the prophet Isaiah kind of setting up this picture that God will give unto you a baby. He will give unto you a son who will be your deliverer, much like Gideon. And so when we reflect on this picture that we see here, we see that God wants to personally provide for your life a deliverer, a redeemer, somebody that's going to save your soul, somebody that's going to deliver you, not from just the natural of this world, but the supernatural things that kind of hold you back, specifically sin. God has sent one to deliver us from that. And so this picture in Isaiah, he gives us some indication, you know, in this description, this wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Isaiah gives us some indication of who this child is and who he would be as he describes this prophetic picture to us. Each one of these words describes a unique characteristic of the Lord. And throughout Scripture, there are so many descriptors of God, so many pictures that we see that we are to receive. And actually, as we walk with him, he shows us more and more of himself. And so the thing that I kind of wanted to do today was to walk us through those different words and ask us this question. Have you received him in that way? Have you received the Lord as wonderful? Have you received him as your counselor, as your mighty God, as your everlasting Father, as your Prince of Peace? Do you know this God that I speak of? Do you know him? Have you made room in your life for him? Can you imagine if I raised my children for 9 years and didn't know anything about them? God wants to walk with you in such an intimate and personal way that you would know him, that you could call him wonderful, that you could call him my counselor, He wants to know you in that kind of a way. And so let's get into this. The five different phrases that God that Isaiah uses for this child that is to be born unto us and this son that is to be given to us. The first one is called Wonderful. He is called Wonderful. Has anybody experienced this wonderful God? Anybody experienced the wonderfulness of the Lord? When you think of the Lord, would you call him wonderful? Have you had that experience? God, you're so wonderful to me. Can you imagine going into prayer and instead of just laying out your laundry list of things that you have, you know, God, I need this. I need help with my finance. God, I need help with my marriage. God, I need, what if you just pause yourself and said, God, you have been so wonderful to me. So wonderful that while I was still in sin, you chose to love me, sent a son for me to die for me that I could be set free. God, you are so wonderful to me. I thought about the picture of Jesus in the New Testament, in his lifetime, and the different things, the wonderful things that he did. I mean, it's remarkable, the things when he was this small boy, they brought him into the temple, and it said that the teachers were amazed at what he revealed to them. Just like 7-year-old Jesus coming and, you know, bringing the thunder and saying, hey, this is what this means, right? I mean, this is an amazing thing. He was wonderful. I think about other situations where Jesus, you know, performs miracles and signs and wonders, and he heals people and he delivers people who have demonic oppression in their life. And, you know, and he speaks such truth and such wisdom and such hope to a people who didn't deserve it, people, you know, who the society ridiculed, people who didn't really even believe that he was who he said he was. Jesus did wonderful things for them. I think about even in his death, Jesus did wonderful things. You know, he opened up the gates of heaven for his people. He's truly wonderful, is what I'm saying. But you can say that when you begin to experience him in a wonderful way. You know, as you walk with him, as you begin to see that side of him, what a shame it would be to say, man, I've never experienced Jesus to be wonderful in my life. You know, I mean, what a gap there, because this is who he is. He's wonderful. Do you call him wonderful? Because that's how he wants to be known by you. Wonderful. The second thing is that he's called Counselor. Now, I've got a lot of counselors in my family and in my life. Not for me personally, just acquaintances, you know what I'm saying? but one of the things, what do you think about when you hear the word counselor? Because for me, it's kind of like a dimly lit room with somebody sitting behind a desk taking notes and me with my feet propped up on the leather couch, kind of disclosing all of life's personal struggles and everything like that. You know, but the goal of counseling in this age, which I think, number one, is a really good thing, by the way, counseling. But the goal of counseling is to help you make it through life's difficulties, right? Like that you're good, you can do this. The goal of the counselor is to come and bring hope to your life. Peter, you're going to make it.
Amen, brother.
Can you imagine if the counselor said, Peter, you're going to drown. You're not going to make it through this. This will be our last session, brother. Be a terrible counselor, right? No, the counselor's job and their goal is to bring hope to your circumstances, to bring life and vision and a way forward. And so Isaiah says that Jesus wants to be your counselor. So put your feet up on the couch and let him speak to your life. Let him speak to your circumstances. He is the great counselor. And his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. When you think of the Lord, do you know him as your source of help in time of need? Has he been that for you? Your source of help in time of need. The Bible actually said that he's our ever-present help when we need him the most. Amen. That's when he shows up. That's when you see him the most in your life is when, and I bet you a lot of you have experienced this, when you're at a low point in your life, somebody told me before the service, I said, who do you say that Jesus is? And he said, I know him as Comforter, because there was a season of life where I needed this, and God came alongside me and, you know, gave me the hug I needed. He showed up as my comforter. And so he is our present help in time of need. It also says in the book of Proverbs, it says that if in all of our ways we would do what? We would acknowledge him. What would he do? He would direct our paths. He would make our paths straight, it says in another place in Scripture, that he would make our paths straight. If in all of our ways we would acknowledge him, that he would direct our paths. I like what it says in the book of Psalms in chapter 33. It says that the plans of the Lord stand firm forever. That sounds like it's got some weight to it. You know what I mean? The plans of the Lord stand firm forever. The purposes of his heart through all the generations. Think about the hope that that speaks to your family. His plan goes on forever and ever to all generations. It's a plan of hope, it's a plan of peace, and it's a plan of life. I got to share with our youth group this Friday that, you know, my family background, like many of yours, was kind of scattered in a lot of different directions, you know. Certainly not many of them serving Jesus. In fact, I can't name any, you know, in my upbringing that were really seeking after the Lord. And so a lot of different paths, you know, paths over here and paths over here and paths over here. But something happened when I was 19 years old. God came to me and he began to counsel my life. He began to show me the very thing that I needed, and I determined that it was him. What I needed was Jesus in my life. And the moment that I did that, the paths all began to come straight. The paths all began to go in the right direction. But up to that point, life was chaos. It was absolute crazy. I bet you some of you can relate to this. Before Jesus, my life was out of control. But when he came, he spoke to that deep hurt that was in me, you know, that chaotic place, that sinful living place, and he made that path straight because he became my counselor. Amen. The counselor who gives us, you know, what we need when we need it. He's so good to us. So, so good to us. Jesus set me free from a life of chaos and delivered me into a new kingdom. And with that new kingdom came a new identity, new passions. I mean, my entire life, literally 180 degrees, different direction when I met Jesus. And he wants to do that for you too. I know it. I know it's true because I've experienced it, that God wants to take you on a journey that is so full of life and health and goodness and healthy marriages and healthy children. And generation to generation, the book of Psalms says, his plan goes on forever. It's the same. It's never changing. It's one full of life and hope, and it's for you. His name is Counselor. Do you know this Jesus, this child that I speak of? Have you known him as your counsel, as your source of counsel for this life? Do you know this one called Counselor who was born unto you? Do you know him? The third thing that Isaiah shows us is that he is called Almighty God. Now, Isaiah is talking about a baby boy being born into this world called Almighty God. And that in itself is pretty remarkable. You know, the thing about the Lord is that it says in Scripture that he is the mighty one of Israel. He is the one who is mighty to save. It says this over and again. He is mighty to rescue his people. He is a mighty redeemer. He is our mighty God. Have you experienced the might of the Lord in your circumstances for him to do only what he can do? You know, we heard about a little bit in worship today that God wants to do things in your existence, in your personal life, that only he can do. So the question was today, what are the things that you need God to do? I mean, it would be a terrible day if I had nothing if I didn't need any help from the Lord. That would be a bad day. I need his help. Am I alone? I need him. I need to experience the mighty hand of the Lord, to know him as Almighty God, as the prophet Isaiah says here. I need to know him as Almighty God. And so I don't know, you know, if you would classify yourself as worthy of this or not. You might not think that you're worth much. Maybe you have a hard time with compliments or praise or gifts being given to you. But God says that I have a gift for you, and it is my son Jesus, who is the Almighty God. And to me, you know, That is pretty powerful, that God would give his very best. I mean, the God who breathes out stars, you know what I mean? Who speaks things into existence, looks at your life and says, you deserve the best. You deserve the very best that I have to offer. And his name is Jesus, the Almighty God. He was born into this world for this purpose, to make a way back to himself for God's creation, which is you. Jesus came that you might have life, it says in the New Testament. And not only life, but this other really cool word, abundant life. Isn't that a great name for a church? Abundant life. He came that you could have a life of abundance because he's the Almighty God. He can do whatever he wants, and that's what he chose for you. That's your destiny if you'd receive it. An abundant life. Do you know him as Almighty God today? Have you discovered this reality? The last thing that he says is this. I'm sorry, there's two more. But the next thing that he says is he says that he is the everlasting Father. And I read this and I've been thinking about this for a couple of weeks. You know, what did Isaiah mean when he said everlasting Father? Because we're given a child, a son, and you can't always equate the natural with the supernatural. Like, you can't try to wrap your head around something. But one thing that Jesus said in the book of Hebrews spoke to me about this specific term, everlasting Father. Jesus said this in the book of Hebrews. He said, here am I and the children God has given to me. See, Jesus' care for us is very much like a father to its children. I mean, can you imagine, I don't know what your home life was like, but can you imagine, you know, a father that just loves you so much, that wants to see what's absolutely the best thing for you, that just wants to pour over you and have you sit on his lap and just wants to, you know, tell you stories and tell you, you know, the plans that are before you and just wants to talk with you about your future and give you wise counsel. And, you know, he just wants to pour over every single area of your life. He just wants to care for you like nobody else. See, that's Jesus, and when it calls him the everlasting Father, it's talking about an eternal Father that you can always count on, you can always trust, you can always look to. You know, this is Jesus. That's who he is. And it's called the everlasting Father because Jesus lives in this place. You know what the name of his town is called? Eternity. Right. Yeah, it was right on Main Street, Eternity. Jesus. But he comes from and he lives in this place called eternity. And I think the reason that Isaiah calls him the everlasting Father is that he desires that you would make your residence in this place too. He wants you to know him as Father for all time. And so Isaiah says, one will come whose name shall be Everlasting Father. Have you discovered him in that sort of a way today? Do you know him as Father? Do you know him, you know, have you experienced that kind of care that Jesus wants to bring to your life, because it is wonderful. It is wonderful when you get to experience that from the Lord. The last thing that Isaiah says here, that he calls this child to be born the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. In this statement, the word prince means literally the leader, the ruler, the head official, the captain. The king. That's what it's saying. This is who he is. It's not like kind of like Prince Charles or something like this, you know. It's talking about the chief, the top guy. He's going to be the Prince of Peace. At this time in Israel's history, when this prophecy came, Israel wanted someone to reign and rule with power, with might, to topple over their enemies and give them back the land that had been taken from them and, you know, bring about this new dominion in this area. And Isaiah says, one will come whose name shall be the Prince of Peace. He would be a ruler whose reign would not be of America or of Israel or of a nation, but of peace. I find that to be very interesting, that his name would be the Prince or the Ruler of Peace. How many of you feel chaotic in life sometimes? You feel that way? All the time. Yeah, kind of like spinning out of control. You know, the wheels are about to fall off. You know the feeling I'm talking about? Yeah, I've never experienced that either. No, we get that way, right? I know for me, when before Jesus came to my life, I got myself involved in all sorts of just bad things, you know, things that were addictive, things that were destructive, things that were not life-giving. And each one of those things just added, it was like it added to the weight of life that I had to carry these things around, and each of them made me feel more and more out of control, but I didn't know how to rid myself of these things. But Isaiah says that one will come whose name shall be the Prince of Peace, the Ruler of Peace. And the kingdom of peace that he's talking about is a kingdom that is not of this world, but it's a kingdom that is designed to bring about this peace between you and the Lord. See, before I knew Jesus, there was a separation that was there, a chaotic separation, a division that came about because of this thing called sin. But Jesus said, I'm going to come and I'm going to restore peace to that chaos. Where there's death, I'm going to come and I'm going to bring life. And I'm going to speak order into that thing. And I'm going to bring about wholeness where there was previously just destruction. You know, and so Jesus came into my life and I began to know him as the King, the Prince of Peace. Because he brought peace where there wasn't. The Bible actually says that when Jesus comes to your life, that he can bring, if you receive it, a peace that you don't even understand. And that's something remarkable to experience when the world and everything around you says, you should be out of control right now. Jesus comes and says, peace. There was a time in Scripture where the disciples were out in this boat and everything was wild. I mean, the waves were big and the wind was coming. You ever feel like that? Like the waves are beating on the boat of your life and the wind is just out of control and you're not sure that you're going to make it and you might go under. This might be it. And Jesus comes and what does he say? Be still. That's the Prince of Peace, and that's the God that we serve, and that's the child that was born unto us that we can receive right now. In this moment, we can say, God, I want to know you in that way, the Prince of Peace. I want to know you in that fashion. There was a time in the book of Matthew where Jesus said to his disciples, he asked this question, a very, very important question. He said, who do you say that I am? Anybody remember when he said that? He said, who do you say that I am? It's probably the most important question that your life will ever give an answer to. He said, who do you say that I am? And the disciples, you know, they gave all sorts of different answers. Some said Elijah. They just gave all these different answers. Some people say this, some people say that. But Jesus was like, I don't, you know, this is me interpreting this. He doesn't care what other people say about him. He wants to know what Butch and Joan Smith say about him. He wants to know what Don and April Manning say about him. Who do you say that I am? That is the question that he wants to know the answer to. You know, who do you say that I am? And Peter, boy, Peter always, you know, sometimes Peter didn't do so hot, you know, but other times, like this one, remarkable, Peter said, you are the Son of the living God. You are the Messiah. And Jesus, like, yeah, that's right, I am. I'm all those things, my man. You are blessed. You want to know why you're blessed? Because flesh and blood didn't show this to you. It wasn't, you know, I sat down for coffee and so shared this with me, and oh, now I got it from them. Not that people can't share stuff, but he says, Peter, it's not that flesh and blood showed it to you, but my Father who is in heaven. You had an encounter with the living God. That's where revelation came from that relationship. And so the answer to that question for you today is rooted in relationship. Who do you say that he is? The most important question that you'll ever answer. Who do you say that Jesus is? Who do you say that he is? Because Isaiah, you know, we looking at this picture here of this baby being left for you, given to you. You open the door of your life and there's this child. And Isaiah says that he wants to be known to your life, to your existence as Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. If you would receive that child into your life today, that child who would become Jesus, the Savior of the world. If you would receive that, I promise you, you'd have an answer for that question every time that it gets asked. Who do you say that I am? Why don't we have the worship team come up here? We're going to close with a Christmas song, but I want to just kind of pose some thoughts here just in closing to you. Jesus was this gift from eternity and was meant to provide you with the answer to the greatest question you'll ever be confronted with. Who do you say that I am? When we think about those words, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, there's two things I want to kind of leave you with. Number one, that this child was given not unto your neighbor, not unto the person in the row in front of you or the people in the town, but unto you, unto your life. This child was given to you and for you, for your life. Will you receive that today? I think that's the question, you know, that God would challenge us with. Would you receive it? Because if you would, you would know this God who Isaiah calls Wonderful. You would know this God who Isaiah calls the Counselor. You would know this God who Isaiah calls, you know, he goes on and on this list. You would get to know him in more than just a far-off way. He would restore your life, and he'd bring hope for your future. Why don't we all stand up? I'm going to pray for you, okay? Why don't we all bow our heads for a moment? Father, we thank you for your word. God, I am thankful for this child, Lord. This is the reason we celebrate you in this time. We reflect on you, God. We are thankful for this child that was born and given to us. And I pray right now, Father, as that door of our life opens, as we're presented with that, the reality of Jesus, God, that we would receive that with gladness, that we would receive that in fullness today. Lord, that we would not close that door on that reality, but we would receive you today, that we might know you as Wonderful, that we might know you as Counselor, as Mighty God, as the Everlasting Father, and as our Prince of Peace. God, we're so thankful for you. We want to make room in our hearts for you right now. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Amen. Let's worship the Lord.
Dying strong and full of life, and I am steadfast, no compromise.